bless you, Jack. I didn't know that. And pray for Grandpa Lemley. He's back home. And Grandpa Lemley's having a hard time as far as, you know, his body's starting to wear out. He's 92 years old. Even little Mary's slowing down. Finally. But pray for them. Wilma Arnie's going to be 74 Tuesday. Maybe we could send her a birthday card. Wilma Arnie, Tuesday, has a birthday, 74. Freddie Belcher's got one today. He's 25, 35, 17, 15, somewhere in there. Where'd you guys meet at, Sean? All the bikers. Remember? Jimmy, where'd they meet? Where's that? Yeah. Boy, if we want, we could, I know I could house that many on our church land. If we ever had anything going, Steve, we could take, in my pavilion, when we set up 365 chairs in that pavilion. That pavilion would hold some people. And I can house all them motorcycles. Wow. As I'd like to see him. Yeah. Amen. Someday if we ever do something special and you need our land, let me know. If it's we can, we'll work it out. Amen. Nine Bethel. Amen. Amen. Well, little Madison was so precious. I'll be glad when Jesus comes back. And no more babies will die. No one will ever die again. I won't have to have Grandpa Lemley with his heart going out. Robert's mom won't be sick no more. I'm glad I know a Savior. I'm glad he came to us. Amen. We couldn't come to him, but he could come to us, and he did. Alrighty, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Glad you're here. And Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Glad you're here. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Good to see each one of you tonight. What hospital are you going to be at, Jack? What hospital? Okay. What time?
I'm going to be there at
8.
Surgery is at
10. Okay. All right. Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse 1. I remember little Madison. She had so much life. I remember walking up and down the steps and up in the foyer, and she was really a special little girl. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You know, there's a difference between created and made. I'll take you back to my Bible college days. Created means you bring something forth from nothing. Made, you have some exist. When you make something, it's from existing material. But when you create, it comes from nothing. God did them both. Amen. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. One day He's going to make them again, by the way. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth. By the way, that's why Noah and them, they never saw a rainstorm. Before the flood, they couldn't visualize a storm coming because they never had one. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And that's the title of the message tonight, Eddie, Brother Roger. Eden, just Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that was pleasant to the sight, good for food, tree of life. Also in the midst of the garden, the tree of good and evil. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious word of God. I sure want to be a blessing today. Help me be a blessing. Thank you for all that are here tonight. They came to get a blessing. Oh God, do what I cannot do. Lord, come down and hug each one and be with each one. Bless Brother Gary on his retirement. I pray you'll give him many wonderful, fruitful years ahead. And Lord, just bless him and his family. And Lord, tonight, give us a great night in your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You might be seated. Tonight I want to share some thoughts with you about the Garden of Eden. If you notice verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. How many see that? In Eden. Did you notice the E is the capital? It's a large E, isn't it? Eden. How many see that? I think when I went to school, maybe the school teacher can tell me. Anything is personal pronoun, personal place or thing, right? Well, Eden was a special place. And so you see that E capitalized, large E. Eden was a real place. Just like heaven is a real place. Some people try to fantasize both places, but don't believe their lie. They're real. Eden was real and so was heaven. Now notice, Eden was the region of Adam's home. This is where Adam abode. This is where he lived. And Eden means delight, pleasures. And they take it out, it means delight self, house of pleasure. In other words, for the kids, Adam was having a great time. He was having a blast. A place of having a blast, amen. That's the Rich Skiver chronological truth from it. But the scripture speaks of Eden being a delightful place, a place of delight and a pleasure. I hold your hand there in Genesis. I'd like you to look at Isaiah, or you can just say, I'll quote them to you. Isaiah 51:3. I want to just read to you from Isaiah 51:3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Someday those deserts are going to blossom, and they're going to be beautiful just like in the days of Eden. Joy, notice what it says there. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. That is a great description of Eden. Beautiful voices, beautiful sights, beautiful place. Almost Maui. No, I'm just kidding. Way better than Maui. But again, I want to quote to you Ezekiel 36, 35. And they shall say, this hand that was desolate become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste desolate, and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. One day God's going to make another Eden, and it's going to be just as great as that first one was. We'll go back to Genesis, if you will. Number one, what was Eden? Eden was a beautiful tropical paradise, a place of pleasure and delight. Number two, where was Eden? Look at Genesis chapter 2. Where was it located on this planet Earth? Well, from verses 10 through 14, it shows us four rivers, of which the four rivers we can identify for sure, two of them. And the other two, we believe, because of archaeological diggings and stuff like that, and they see where rivers used to be. But, and if you notice, in the river, and a river went out of Eden. Are you in verse 10 with me, Genesis 2? To water the garden, and from thence it was part, and became into four heads. Let's look up here. I'm going to give you a truth before I read. When you see the Tigris and the Euphrates, there's a that land in between them is fertile. There's a name for those two. Fertile Crescent. Thank you, Robert. Those rivers made great. You got the Tigris coming down on the one side. You got the Euphrates coming down the other, and they both go down into the Persian Gulf. And that land in between, the land like this is the Tigris, and this is that land in between is fertile ground because it's got nourished with the water. Amen. And then they all come down into the Persian Gulf, and I'm going to show you your map in just a minute here. Look at verse 12. The name of the first is Pison, that is which is compasses the whole land of Hababa, where there is gold, and gold of that land is good, and Bedlam and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon, and the same as that which compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. Well, you know where Ethiopia is, don't you? Down there to the left, to the bottom. You see that? I'll show you in just a minute. And the name of the third river, Hadaki, which we know as the Tigris, that is which goes towards the east of Assyria, in which you call Syria now. And the fourth river is Euphrates. So you got the four rivers there, Pison and Gihon and Hadako and Euphrates, which, by the way, the one's the Tigris. Now let's look at your map for just 1 minute. See if I can help you with this thought. I think these maps are about the best I can show you with. Now, I highlighted mine, but I didn't highlight yours. If you'll notice in the top one, see this big body of water? That's the Persian Gulf. Does it have a... Yeah, it even says Persian Gulf on the bottom there. That's the Persian Gulf, okay? Now, you know, the Persian Gulf, that comes into where Iran and Iraq. Are you with me, church? Okay. Look at those rivers. You got the Euphrates coming down. You got the Tigris. And then they believe the Pison came to the left, and then the other one down from the right. And that's what they believe. We know for a fact that because the Euphrates and the Tigris are still there, we know those two are there. Amen? Well, God said there was four of them that came together. And so we think they came at, now, no one knows the exact spot. So don't go out and get in an argument with somebody. If someone says, no, I don't believe, you know, don't go out and say, nah, you don't know, my preacher said this is this. No, we just know that the Garden of Eden was in the area, of the Mesopotamia area, near the Persian Gulf. Amen? Come on, say amen if you hear me. Now notice, did you see that little thing on there on the top there says I brought that out for a reason. All the early civilizations, when they dig, they found around there. And guess who the Bible says came out of Abraham. Genesis chapter 11, verse 28 and verse 31. The Bible talks about these. When these people do these geographic diggings and everything, the Bible always is sustained They'll always come up. And if they don't, they're not digging in the right spot. Amen. But and so you see, and then if you'll notice on the bottom, you have another map that says Garden. How many see the Garden of Eden? And then see where it says Babylon? Personally, that's where Preacher believes it was. That's where I believe the Garden of Eden was, right there. But I would never get in. I would never get offended if someone didn't believe that. But when you take all those four rivers together, that's about the proximity of where Babylon, or right in that area, it would be in that area. That's where the Garden of Eden was. Are you still with me? And if you'll notice, Turkey's up above that. Huh. What do you remember about Turkey? Well, there's a guy named Noah, and he got in an ark. And in Genesis chapter 8, I don't know, about verse 10 somewhere, I can't. Verse 4 said that the ark landed on Mount Ararat. Mount Ararat is in Turkey. What I want to show you is this. Early, the first civilization and all your, and even Noah stayed in that area. How many see that? And so, the Garden of Eden, we believe, was over there right near the Persian Gulf, probably in the what we call Iraq, and that area there. And then, number three, what was in the garden? Are you still with me in Genesis chapter 2? Well, if you look in verse 8, you'll see the Lord God planted a garden. We know there was a garden and there wasn't there. Because God said there was. And, you know, he's a farmer. God likes to farm. You know, do you ever notice there's something special about owning land and farming? I think it comes from the blessing of God. There's something special about there, isn't there? How many of you ever grown tomatoes or corn or something? There's something about having your own garden. Libby Jewell, one of our older members here, for about 45 years straight, she for years her and Ralph used to grow a garden every single year in succession. Even after Ralph had passed away, she still continues. Does she, Matt? For several years, she's had a garden every year of her life. And it just seems like there's something special connected with, even like when we were on the land, we go out there and it feels good to own land, doesn't it? It feels good to grow things and have things from the land. There's something God makes. I think God puts that special thing in there. I really do. But notice that there was a garden there. And there he put the man whom he formed. So we know Adam. We know Eve was. Adam was. And then guess what? Later on, Eve was too. Amen. So and we know Adam and Eve was in there. Notice in verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord grow every tree. Oh, there was all kinds of trees, Eddie. I'm going to show you a scripture later in Ezekiel. There were all kinds of beautiful trees. Not just fruit, beautiful trees. Trees that... That looked beyond splendor. And God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. In other words, just beautiful look. I love just looking out. There's something about being in, you ever notice, just sitting in amongst the trees is pretty, isn't it? How many like look out, see in the woods? And I just think there's something special. Like God puts a little special touch to it. Notice, God made the grow every tree is pleasant to sight and good for food. So there was fruit. There was trees for food, and then there was a tree of life. You see that? So you got Adam and Eve. You got a garden. You got the tree of life. You got beautiful trees, and then you got and also in the garden in the midst of, there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Boy, that's pretty nice, isn't it? And let me give you a scripture from Ezekiel about the beautiful trees that are mentioned. In Ezekiel 31, verse 8 and 9. The cedars in the garden of God. The cedars in the garden of God. The cedars in the garden of God. There must have been some cedar trees. Amen? Are you with me? The garden of God was Eden. Could not hide him. The fir trees which were not like his bones. And the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden there were in the garden of God, they envied him. I'm going to tell you, there was a lot of beautiful trees in the Garden of Eden. And just a beautiful place. I think there was serenity. I think there was a peacefulness, a calm, a quietness, and yet just a tranquil feeling in the place of the Garden of Eden. Notice also, though, that in Genesis 3:1, not only was Adam and Eve, the tree of life, a lot of beautiful trees, fruit trees, trees for food, tree of knowledge of good and evil. But verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Satan was there. Let me read you again from Ezekiel chapter 28, in verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, the carbuncle, the gold workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes were prepared in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub. You know, Satan was in the Garden of Eden. You know what I noticed, though? I noted this. Watch out. Every time Satan can get into a place, he's out to destroy it. Here you got this beautiful place. Everything's going great. And then Satan comes on the scene. Boy, it don't take him long to mess things up, does it? I noted, don't let him into your life. Don't let him into your home. Don't let him into your work. Keep him, shut him out. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Rebuke him and turn to Christ and say, God, give me victory over this. And so we see that Satan was also there, and he was really the one that brought down all the demise of it. Number four, because Adam and Eve sinned, look at Genesis 3:6. Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. Satan lured them to take of the forbidden fruit. Now, if that was, I don't know if it was an apple. I don't know if it was a grape. Don't get in a punching thing over that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it was. It might not have been either one of them. We'll find out when we get to heaven. The thing is, they did something. They took something that God said not to take. And there's a lesson for us. If God says, thou shalt not touch, whatever it is, don't touch it. God says, stay away, stay away. Amen? And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes. It's always something good that catches your eye. A tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So the penalty for sin of Adam and Eve, there was expulsion from the Garden of Eden. God expelled them out. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, they were kicked out. They were banished from Eden. Listen, unforgiven sin will get you kicked out of heaven. That's why you got to be saved. Amen? Hold your hand there and look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. You know there's no sin going into heaven? You say, well, preacher, we're sinners. Yeah, but all our sins are underneath the blood. 21:27. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Everyone's name written in the book of life had their sins blotted out. But Lizzie, once we get there, God's closing the door and no sin's coming in. Isn't that great? Man, I'll tell you. That's one reason it's going to be heaven. There's no evil is going to be in there. Amen? All the evil is going to be shut out. And Grandma Lemley was telling me about a man that I missed. It was on the news. I think he raped a little 6-year-old little girl. And I just sometimes my heart gets so torn up with, you wonder, the depravity of man, you know? How far can people go? And what, you know? But boy, one day, Carl, and by the way, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying, you know, but my lands, you know, Brother Coolidge, this world is beyond my comprehension. And what's amazing, I was a street kid, and it's beyond my comprehension. And that's what's amazing. And it's even beyond what the preacher could think of. I'm glad I don't think things like that. But when I heard it, it just ripped my heart out. And so, God, someday this has got to stop. And someday it's going to stop. Someday it's going to end. And I'm so glad that day, I think, is coming in the near future. Of course, I know we have a 1,000-year millennium to go through and 7 years trip. We'll be in heaven, though. But one day in the future, we got a glorious time coming where nothing will hurt in my holy mountain. Amen? And so we see that they were the penalty from doing the sin, listen to Satan, their expulsion from Eden. And sin will destroy you. Sin will tear your home up. Did you notice that? You know what the underlying thing that destroyed their home was? Sin. Don't let sin into your home. Don't let Satan in your home. It'll drive you from the place you love. It'll drive you from the ones you love. It'll drive you from the place that you once had great joy in. Amen. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will make you make you pay longer than you want, more you wanted to pay, and it goes on to make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. I can't remember exactly how that, but there's a truth to that. Makes you pay that more than you want to pay. Makes you stay longer than you want to stay. And sin will just destroy your life. So be aware. Satan's out to try to always question us on what do you think God thinks is wrong. You know, that's how he got Eve to fall for. He questioned God's authority. Listen, look up here. When you read the Bible, you don't have, just take God's Bible with truth. If God says it, it settles it. We don't have to say, well, I'm going to figure this out and see if God's really right. No, God's right. You don't have to put God in a test tube. God's right. We just need to obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so let me encourage you to do that. Now, notice what God did to make Adam and Eve leave the garden. Look at Genesis 3:22. Look at Genesis 3:20. Look what God did to make him leave the Garden of Eden. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. By the way, he said us. I think that shows the Trinity again. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And I know there's others there too, but I think the Trinity is shown there. Notice. And the Lord said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life. Circle that. We're going to be going. I'm going to close with that. There was a tree of life in that garden, remember? And eat. If he eats that, he'll live forever. If he would eat that, though, he'd live forever in the state of a sinful person. Are you with me? Notice. Therefore, the Lord, verse 23, set him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. See, that was his job. Adam was a farmer. The Bible said God put him to dress and keep. When you study Genesis 2, that was Adam's job. He was to take care of the garden. He was to dress and keep it. And so God drove out the man and he placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden. Cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Wow. This must have been really important to God. Boy, his love for us is great. You know, a lot of things he'll do. He'll go to great measures just to keep us from doing something that would be drastically wrong for us. Amen? And if you'll notice, he sent cherubims. What is a cherubim, preacher? It's an angelic being. But they're really different. They got two wings. When you study about them, they got four heads. Hello? They got a face. They got a face of a lion, face of an oxen, face of a man, face of an eagle. If you want to look at that, look at Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10, 11. How do you like to? You see, when you see these cartoons, they got all these, you know, these. Where, wonder where they get all this stuff. Huh, they get it from the Bible. Hey, Brian, you and I went against the cherubim. What we do? I'd be running, buddy. He's got this flaming sword. By the way, all the angelic hosts. There's different. There's seraphims, cherubims, different types. The archangels, Listen, there's so many people, there's so many different rankings in heaven. And they're different creations. Like, for instance, the seraphim. The seraphim has six wings. We get to heaven, we're going to say, wow, we thought Star Wars was tripping out. With Obi-Tubi, you know, no different things. When you kids get there, you ain't never seen a Star Wars like this one. They had made the Star Wars. You have to show what God's got for us. Amen. And by the way, angels, no matter what they've always have great strength. And what we call it, went from the streets, they're bad sticks. God just sent two of them to Sodom and Gomorrah and wiped the whole place out. Just two of them. And you don't want to mess with angels. Amen. What did I tell you? Ezekiel? Let's see. I lost my thought. Ezekiel chapter 1, I think I wanted to tell you. Verse 10. And my mind's been distracted. I'm trying to get located tonight. And some days you'll have days like this. Amen? Notice in Ezekiel 1:10, and as for the likeness of their faces, they have four, had the face of a... They got one head with four faces. Had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, the face, and they had four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they also had the face of an eagle. Wow. I don't want to mess with one of them guys. Well, I bet you couldn't sneak up on one of them. They got you covered all the way, 360 degrees, amen? And thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings on every one. By the way, remember the Ark of the Covenant? Didn't they have cherubims on that too? You know? And so, in any event, what I wanted to say, these creatures, these living creatures that God sent, they love God's holiness. The cherubim, they want to uphold God's holiness and righteousness. And anytime you go against that, they're going to stop it. And notice what God did. Look at that verse 24. He put the cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He put someone there. And we think of a big angel, but he did more than that. And I'm going to show you in just 1 minute here. Did you know the Garden of Eden was completely devastated? It was destroyed. It was burnt, scorched. God destroyed it with that cherubims. He burned it up. If you'll look with me in Joel chapter 2, got one of my 50th Bible markers. Good place to put some of these things. Amen. Keep those 50th Bible markers in your Bible. You can mark things. I want you to see a scripture from Joel chapter 2 and verse 3. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden. before them and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape. It goes on and talks about in verse 6, because this is a coming judgment. These scriptures here are referring to the tribulation. This is actually talking about a nuclear bomb coming up. You'll see in verse 6, before their face, the people shall be much pained, and all their faces shall be gathered blackness. I was telling Brother Eddie Wilson, you know, we get mad. I used to get mad at the Japanese for the Pearl Harbor. No, you study it. Those poor Japanese, if anybody had a right to be hated, it'd be Japanese hate Americans. We dropped 2 nuclear bombs on the Japanese people. All their children and babies were burnt to a crisp. Did you know that in World War II, America lost 400,000 people total? And most of it was almost all military. Do you know how many people died in the Japanese died in World War II? 2,600,000. Now, no one was happy about Pearl Harbor. I'm not either. But I'm going to tell you something. Did you know of the civilians, when you say 400,000 for America, that's almost hardly, no, maybe 100 so civilians. 2,600,000 Japanese people were killed in World War II. 600,000 civilians of the Japanese people were killed in World War II. More civilian people were killed in Japan in World War II than all the soldiers that died in World War II for America. What I'm saying is, did you ever see where Hiroshima, where they bombed? Did you ever see their bodies were scorched right into the ground? How many are still with me? Look what the scripture says. Before, I shouldn't. I'm getting off. This is another. I need to. Let me just go back to verse 3. Talk about Garden of Eden. But anyways. What I'm trying to show you is this. This Joel is a prophetic scripture of prophecy to come. But he does mention the Garden of Eden. And what he's talking about in the devastation. There's a great devastation coming up. And the reason I'm reading this is this. He refers to that devastation being like the Garden of Eden. Look at verse 3 now. A fire devoureth before them and behind them, a flame burneth. What did God send? A cherub with a flaming sword? And the land is as the Garden of Eden. He says, I'm going to burn up things during the trib like I burned up the Garden of Eden. How many see that? Before them and behind them, a desolate wilderness. Listen, those cherubims, they totally made it desolate. The Garden of Eden. So they never go back in it. Amen? And then, God takes the tree of life out. How you say why? Because he puts it back in Revelation chapter 22. Of course, he could have destroyed me. He can do anything he wants. But I think he might have took it out and maybe keeping it for Revelation 22. Are you with me? How many are still with me? Now, you say, what's the preacher doing? I'm just trying to get you to think. Just think with me. Don't get so upset. Just trying to make you think about things. It's good that you enlarge your mind about thinking. Can you imagine that, Eric? And by the way, what is that over there, Brian? Almost everything over there is all desert. You go to Saudi Arabia and all, it's all Jimmy's got sons that went fought in the wars over there. Mike, I believe it was, went over the Desert Storm. It's all deserts. Brother Harold's over there. Deserts. but that used to be beautiful. Nothing grows out there. You know why? Because God destroyed it. Even though the Garden of Eden was there, He destroyed it. And by the way, it still hasn't come back. But it's going to. Hello. I'm either laying a great golden egg tonight, Bobby, or people are thinking with me, or both. I don't know. But notice, lastly, I'll close with this. God is going to restore the tree of life. Look at Revelation chapter 22. That, Lizzie, I believe God's bringing paradise back. Are you with me? Remember, look at 21:1. I saw a new heaven, new earth. Hallelujah. Are you with me? All right, now when you get, look up here. It's so easy. Look up here. Everybody look at me. The Bible, the Revelation is written chronologically. Everything's right in order. Like your first three chapters talk about your early churches. God wrote to the seven churches, we think that there's actually a history of other churches that are seen down through the centuries. Then in Revelation 4:1, the rapture. Come up hither. Are you with me? Then all the way from 5 through 6, all the way to 19 is your tribulation passages. Those 7 years. But Brother Gary, we're gone. Listen, I'm not worried about the trib. You're just seeing some previews going on over in the Middle East. That's going to go on. Listen, that just tells you, get ready. He's coming back. So, from after the rapture all the way up to Revelation 19, around verse 11, where Jesus comes back in His revelation. In 4:1, we go up in the rapture. He's in the clouds. In 19:11, He comes back in His revelation. He's revealed. He's not revealed only to the saved people in the rapture, but when He comes back in His revelation, He's revealed to the whole world. Every eye shall see Him. They're going to see Him as He comes down on a horse. It's amazing. All the time now they're talking about these, Lord help me, things coming into our planet, hitting our comets. And there's something coming. It's going to hit planet Earth pretty soon. Something. Yeah, I wonder why they're all saying that. Because I'm going to tell you, they're getting people ready to look in the skies because one day they're going to see Jesus coming back. Revelation 19. Then you got, that's your big battle of Armageddon when He destroys all the nations. Are you with me? We're going to be with Him. We're going to have brand new glorified bodies. Jackie, we've already been up with Him for 7 years. We go up in 4:1. We get brand new bodies. We're up there 7 years and the judgment and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you with me? Oh, if you can just get the timelines, you understand your Bible. It's real easy. It's easy once you learn it. And by the way, that if you know how to disciple and discern your scriptures, then people can't toss you to and fro with every wind of doctrine. He comes back in Revelation 19. And you have the Armageddon. And then He sets up His kingdom, the millennium, the 1,000 years. That's in Revelation chapter 20. It says 6 times, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. It's what we pray. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. That's the kingdom. The world's not ending. People say, no, even if Jesus comes back today, the world's still going to keep going. We got 7 years of tribulation and 1,000 years millennium after that. So it's far from being done. 1,000 years is a long time. Even Mary's not that old. Mary's going to outlive the millennium, though. Amen. And see, at the end of the millennium, God burns up this earth. At the end of that 1,000 years, He puts Satan in the lake of fire and all the great white throne judgment. All lost people go to hell. And God burns up this earth. He talks about that in Peter and stuff. Then in Revelation 21, He makes a new heaven and a new earth. It's been purged. See, you purge things with fire. Fire is a purger. It cleanses. Are you with me? Well, pick up Revelation 22 and I'll close. Well, look at verse 1, 22:1. He showed me a pure river. Boy, yeah. you know this has got to be eternity because there ain't no pure rivers, man. I thought that was pretty good. He showed me a pure river of water life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street, where, on either side of the river, was there, watch, verse 2, tree of life. Where did we see that tree of life? Yeah, we saw that in the Garden of Eden, didn't we, Tam? That tree of life was in the paradise of God in Eden. Before, and it was there. But once sin came in, God removed it, didn't he? Are you with me? Now, even though everything was destroyed, and you, if you don't think you destroyed it, just take a ride out anywhere there in, over there in the Persian Gulf. You'll see there's a lot of deserts there, Eddie. You can have all the sand you want. But now we're in a new heaven, new earth, new planet. And here comes that tree of life. That's interesting. Which bear 12 manner of fruits. I wonder how many tribes of Israel there are. And yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, I know a lot's going through your mind right now. I don't have all the answers about that tree of life. Brother Coolidge, you and I won't need it because we're going to have glorified bodies. But someone there, someone in eternity, and I believe it's Israel, someone's going to need it. Just a thought. Make you think. I wonder if someone's coming through the tribulation, going into the millennium, and through the millennium, into eternity. I wonder if there's something that God's got going on that we don't fully understand. But that tree of life is back, just like in the Garden of Eden. By the way, in Proverbs, Robert, four times that word tree of life is, four times it's mentioned, four times the tree of life. There's something about that tree of life, Eddie. Maybe someday I'll take a whole message and just preach on the tree of life. But I know one thing, it was so important that God made sure that he took it away. But now back in, now that Eden's restored, now that the paradise of God's restored, was there any sin when Adam was there? No. Would there be any sin in eternity? No. Was the tree of life there? Yes. The tree of life will be in eternity too. I don't understand all of it. I just want you to think about it. Lizzie's thinking too, Eddie. She's really, you're going to have fun this week. I can see Lizzie. Eddie, I'm thinking about that tree of life. But don't worry too much about it because you and I have all taken up the bread of life, which is Jesus. But he's going to use that tree of life in eternity for the healing of the nations. It came from the garden, and it's going to be restored again. Something to think about, isn't it? Now, don't go wacko with it. Maybe everyone in eternity doesn't have a Harley Davidson, have to have a tree of life. I don't know. They have to have leaves for healing. I don't. I'm just having fun with you right now. I'm just glad I'm going to be there to see it. I'll close. I've been rattling on. Thank you for putting up with me tonight. My mind, I got taken away and I couldn't seem to get locked in. It's good to think about stuff. You're going to be there. We think about everything else. Why don't we think about something of God? I personally believe God's going to populate all the planets with the Jewish people. I could be wrong. Isaiah says the end of his government shall never end. And who knows? I don't know. I wouldn't argue with people. Ruthie, they say, no, that's not true. No, it's just, who knows? When God's silent and he doesn't say a lot, Miss Mert, we can say just about anything we want. But I wouldn't get upset over it if someone didn't believe it. But I know one thing. Bud, the garden, the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. And it's back in Revelation 22. So evidently, the garden's back. In all those deserts, they're going to blossom. Matter of fact, Isaiah 35 talked about Israel. The deserts said they would, Isaiah 35:1, I was taught that. And they got irrigation systems and they're beautiful flowers in the deserts over there in Israel. It's a prophecy of 35:1. If I remember the scripture, it's been a long time since I went to Bible college. But there's a read the scriptures. Let me give you this. I'll close. I didn't have this plan. When you, Bobby, there's 66 books in this Bible. 66 books, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. You with me? Isaiah has 66 chapters. And Isaiah is a little Bible contained within a Bible. For instance, Matthew would be what if there's 39 books in the Old Testament and the first book in the Bible of the New Testament would be the 40th. 39, what would be what's the first book in the New Testament? Matthew, right? That would be the 40th book, right? Do you know in chapter 40 of Isaiah, it talks about John the Baptist. He came on the scene. When you read Isaiah 65 and 66, you talk about the millennium and eternity, just like the back of Revelation. Study the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, Jesus said. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll bless our people tonight. Lord, I pray I didn't fail. Lord, I know my mind just seemed to lose me tonight. And Father, I just pray that you'll bless our people. Pray they learned something from about the Garden of Eden. Oh, Lord, you put that in my heart to share with them. And Lord, I pray with all my heart, oh God, bless our people. Lord, please, bless our people. Help them to see things as they study, as they read. Help them to look for things that you can show them. Oh God, help them to have a desire to want to learn more and more. And Father, we look forward to those future days ahead when you're going to do those special things. We're going to see the Garden of Eden. We're going to get to see what Adam and Eve was in. We're going to get to see a perfect place like that again. We're going to see a crystal clear water. We're going to see the tree of life. And so, Father, I pray with all my heart that you'll bless our people. Encourage them, Father. And, Lord, help them to look to you for all things, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Let's